paintings are so much more than just pretty pictures. Take the 17th century still life of a watermelon by Giovanni Stanchi. It looks entirely different than the watermelons we know today. In fact, James Nienhuis, a horticulture professor at the University of Wisconsin, uses the Stanchi painting in his classes to teach about the history of crop breeding. Lynn got the story.
Jim, it's good to have you with us.
My pleasure.
So, Jim, why does a horticultural professor teach students about a 500-year-old melon? I have to say, it's one of the most striking visions I can imagine, a big round watermelon cut in half. And there's a thick white membrane that divides the melon into six pie-shaped wedges. Now, inside each wedge, red flesh curlicues form a heart shape. And between those curlicues are empty gaps with black seeds. What was the evolution? I mean, how quickly did the watermelon become that solid red color?
Really, it deals with the issue of, you know, even the more fundamental questions of why actually a watermelon is red on the inside or mm-hmm. a carrot is orange. Why are they have the color at all? Vegetables. And, you know, it could be involved with pollination or attraction of herbivores or, you know, dissuasion of herbivores. But really, the carotenoids, the yellows, the oranges, and the reds are there for light, for photosynthesis. And, I mean, think about this for a moment. If the carotenoids are there for light absorption, I think most carrots grow underground. So why?
Here's the light.
So what the heck are they doing there becoming orange when they can't even see the light? And the watermelon, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably pretty dark inside there.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah.
So why would they become bright red? And the reason for the answer to both of those questions is because we, human beings, we domesticated and selected and bred these crops, and those were the colors that were pleasing to us. And that's why the watermelon became, you know, as you described, those wonderful curlicues on the inside of that placental tissue.
Yeah.
That redness is all about us. You know, I think what we're most fascinated with is simply the fact that the watermelon, you know, what it looked like 500 years ago in Renaissance art. You know, vegetables are perishable. So we don't have the luxury that, you know, that paleontologists have when they look at grains, mm-hmm. you know, in which the grains can be preserved for, you know, centuries in dry climates. So they can look at the evolution of, you know, wheat from a little grain to a larger grain and the colors. Vegetables are perishable. So we don't have any indication of what they looked like 500 years ago because that was prior to, you know, my iPhone or the Kodak yeah. camera. So the only way we can really look at that recent history is through Renaissance art. You not only do you look at the painting, but you also look at the artist, and by their names you can often determine if they're Dutch or, you know, or Italian or Flemish or whatever. But you can also look at the dates, and you can learn a lot about the history of vegetable domestication. And what fascinates me is you'll look at some of these paintings, and you'll see that, you know, within 20 or 30 years after the, you know, discovery of, you know, the Americas, well, or the rediscovery of the Americas, you will find that there are tomatoes pictured in Italy, or you will find squash pictured in Italy, which is remarkable because those crops are native to
the Americas.
The Americas, and you see them so elegantly painted. One of those Stanchi paintings has a picture of a tomato on it that looks, I mean, it's like 1495, right, is the when the painting was made. And it has a tomato in it that looks like a burpy big boy. I said, wow, how, talk about speed, right? You can tell that the Italians must have just been fascinated with this particular crop, and they domesticated it very rapidly.
Jim, this has been fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you.
James Nienhuis is a horticulture professor at the University of Wisconsin. You can find a recipe for the classic Mexican watermelon agua fresca at splendidtable.org.